This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear a report from Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Harvest progressing nicely for Beltrami, Minnesota farmer Mike Skaug.
Corn's coming off really good quality, and you know the bushels are surprising compared to what kind of a growing season we had. We're happy. We've got about 40% of our crop acreage left in corn, but by the end of the week, it's going to look a lot shorter.
Considering the growing season, Skaug says the crop fairly decent.
The test weight's about 59, has been probably averaging, and moisture's been well, and the yield has been really pretty good for. We lost a lot of yield in August, and that was, we probably got, from what my experience has been, when we have a bad, dry conditions in August, and lose some bushels, the ears are tipping back pretty quickly, and I thought, oh my goodness, I quit looking at it because I thought, it's going to be, pretty bad, but, we got pretty lucky, held on to some bushels that we probably could have lost.
Wilmer, Minnesota farmer Chad Willis has finished his harvest. Willis had an excellent corn crop.
We pretty much had a wide open harvest here in central Minnesota. Not any rain delays to speak of, so a lot of people are finishing up. I monitor Facebook and I've seen a lot of posts where people are finishing up on corn, so that's a good feeling. The crop was phenomenal for the growing season. Last year in this area we had a drought and had my worst crop ever, and this one ranks up there with one of my best. So I would say we had timely rains. I mean, we were dry most of the summer, but we caught good rain in August, and I think that was just in time, and the corn yields were great.
And while Willis had a good corn crop, the soybean crop varied.
The average is slightly above average for me. Where they were good, they were real good. You could tell farm to farm that probably caught a shower of rain and the other farm didn't, but just slightly above average on soybeans for me. And again, the August rains really helped the later soybeans, and they were able to put on the pods and fill the pods, so it really made a difference.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, Pivot Bio, and Amity Technology. Well, as harvest does start to wind down, Van Aun & Company market analyst Christy Van Aun is seeing seasonal strength beginning to appear.
Seasonal start to tend to shift positive for corn and soybeans over the next couple weeks. Once you kind of wrap up harvest, we've already started to see basis levels starting to get better already, so you kind of... elevators prepping for the fact that they got those initial bushels, and after that, the bin doors are probably going to shut, and they're probably going to shut tight, to be honest. And so we're seeing this market try and make a push, but until we can see soybeans over $14 consistently and corn over $7 consistently, I really think you're stuck for the long haul.
And corn and soybeans have struggled to close above the overhead resistance of $7 on corn, $14 on soybeans.
And maybe that'll happen when you start to have November come off the board for soybeans, which is going to be first notice here on Monday. And so maybe that's what it takes to make that January contract your lead contract. We're at $14.03 right now there. But overall, we are just really struggling to get anywhere in this market, and it's been very quiet. And it's not the worst thing to say, hey, we are really unable to fall below the 40-day moving average for corn when you look at it. That's been about about 681 right now, and it's been a level that's brought buyers in for the last week and a half. So that's nice to see, and it's nice to know that these markets didn't really collapse on themselves throughout harvest.
And Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says there are several factors that are underpinning the soybean market.
We haven't seen a lot of news this week to give us some direction, but what we've been seeing is, you know, a little bit of strength coming into the market, especially after, you know, yesterday's good performance. We're seeing that kind of follow through here today. It took wheat a little longer to get to be part of the equation, but it is pushing higher here. Soybeans leading the charge again today like they did yesterday.
And that corn market continues to struggle.
Cattle seeing some good push right now. You know, I think we might have turned the corner. We've seen good cash trades so far this week. Box beef, or we're looking at, as far as the cold storage report, a little more beef in the freezer than we'd like to. We're just over the 50% harvested, almost, you know, to that 60% level. We got a ways to go. We got some major states that are less than 50% harvested. So I think we got some hedge pressure that this market's dealing with. And the fact that we're not, you know, the demand has just not been very good for corn.
The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration says ethanol production increased 17,000 barrels per day last week. To 1.033 million barrels a day. That is the fourth consecutive week that ethanol production has increased. Ethanol stocks, though, also were higher, up 447,000 barrels from the previous week to 22.3 million barrels. North Dakota's Richland 44 FFA chapter, which is based in Colfax, is one of the three finalists for the National Premier Chapter Award category for strengthening agriculture. Richland 44 focused on agricultural literacy for its award category. And a Minnesotan is one of 20 remaining candidates for national FFA office. Kyle Thompson of Rockford is a former Minnesota State FFA officer. The candidates from North Dakota, South Dakota did not advance. National officer team will be announced on Saturday. And go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and more. Follow us online at Facebook and Twitter as well. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor took to the air today to head to Indianapolis to cover the 95th National FFA Convention.
Our coverage of the National FFA Convention wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, including CHS, A Country Farm Credit Services, Associated Milk Producers and Dinner Bell Creamery, Proceed, and Corteva. It takes a whole herd of people to put together a convention as big as the National FFA Convention. National FFA Organization Communications Manager Christy Meyer says the general sessions are the highlight of convention.
Yeah, so we're super excited. Our general sessions will be award and recognition, so really celebrating our students and all of the things they've done throughout the year, whether it be their supervised agriculture experiences or their proficiencies. So all their hard work, we get to award them for that. In addition to that, our current national officer team will give their retiring addresses. And on our opening session, 1A and 1B, we'll have Tamika Catchings giving our keynote. So we're really excited about that. And all of that will be held in Lucas Oil Stadium.
And Meyer says convention is a place to share ideas and insights between students and advisors. Included in this is a new aspect of National FFA Convention.
Something new we have this year is we have what we call a student showcase stage. And so our students who have different supervised agriculture experiences or different agri-science projects, they're actually going to be on that smaller stage in the convention center and talk a little bit about what their projects are. So students will have an opportunity to see what kind of options there are outside of what you might traditionally think. So we're hoping that gives people a little bit of an idea of what they can do differently. In addition to that, with our expo, we have over 400 exhibitors. So that also, we hope, will give our students and our teachers information that they can take back home to their community and use. So we're really just trying to give them options of how they can improve their community.
Our coverage of National FFA Convention is sponsored by Bayer, Nutrien, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, Minnesota Farmers Union, and South Dakota Farmers Union. Reporting Agriculture's Business from Indianapolis, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The combination of strong commodity prices and good crops are offset by high input costs. Choice Bank Ag Market President Tony Goditis, who's based in Grafton, is seeing more farmers lock in crop input costs this fall.
Any time that these major inputs we have that are costing farms hundreds of thousands of dollars and they fluctuate 50% or more, I mean, the effects you have to your income statement is substantial. So good managers are always looking at ways to reduce that risk. We're helping guys, educating guys, whatever we can do to prepay something or lock something in the futures market, whatever that case may be. Yes, reduce your risk to your farm. Don't be subject to the markets, you know, 100%.
Goditis is also reminding farmers to look for marketing opportunities.
Guys get comfortable holding on to grain, right? And I'm guilty of it too. You know, I farm a little bit. And, you know, when guys are sitting with good working capitals and a comfortable position, well, don't forget that if you're paying interest on that line of credit, that's clicking at a lot faster rate than it was a year ago. And know your true cost of holding that grain.
For the first time, scientists have tracked the movement of a wild bird known to be infected with the highly pathogenic avian influenza. The bird was not showing signs of the virus when it was originally captured and released. A swab test was taken as part of an overall research project, and that came back a week later with a positive result. The research was led by the U.S. Geological Survey. They found the movement pattern of the infected birds was noticeably different than the non-infected birds. This information will be used as the government develops surveillance programs in the future. National Milk Producers Federation leadership unanimously endorsing a proposal to modernize the federal milk marketing orders. National Milk has led more than 100 meetings over the past year to develop those recommendations. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Jules Brunat is leading a trade mission to East Africa next week. 32 agribusinesses and farm organizations will participate in that trip. The delegation includes J.M. Grain of Garrison, North Dakota, Yellowstone River Beef of Williston, North Dakota, the U.S. Meat Export Federation, U.S. Grains Council, and the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A delegation representing the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance is leaving this weekend for Vietnam. While in Ho Chi Minh City, the group will participate in a broadcast with buyers from throughout Southeast Asia. Executive Director Eric Winberg is promoting their Identity Preserved brand.
Our focus groups have indicated that the messages we have are, you know, have an 80% to 90% certainty of about changing people's minds, that they understand that they need to look not just at a commodity price, but consider paying more to get a clean, specific variety product, that you need to make tofu or natto, or on the grain side, you know, those wonderful baked, distilled and brewed products you can make from rye, barley, corn, and oats.
Winberg says the supply chain headaches and the availability of containers will likely be part of that conversation.
Buyers always raise it. They should raise it. We have a story to tell about the logistical difficulties we face, about asking buyers to show patience as we work through the system. You know, we, SSGA, follows transportation very closely. We would say that maybe rates and availability have eased in container traffic over the last year. But companies still struggle with some of these terms from the ocean carriers, like the earliest return dates.
SB&B Foods President Todd Sinners, based in Castleton, North Dakota, will be part of that international launch of the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance Identity Preserved brand. Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. Seeing wheat in Minneapolis trade mixed now. December's up a penny at 9.53 and a quarter. March is down a quarter penny, 9.59 and three quarters. Winter wheats, Chicago December wheats up 5, Kansas City 5 and a quarter higher. December corn's down a penny at 6.85 and a quarter. March corn down 1.5 at 6.90 and three quarters. November soybeans a penny and a half higher at 13.83 and a half. March beans are a penny and a half higher, 14.02 and a half. Canola, $34.30 a metric ton higher, 9.31.10 Canadian. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon. This is the Red River Farm Network.